Father, we thank you for open windows of heaven. We're able to receive freely of your blessing and of your goodness. Teach us how to maintain open windows through all areas of our life. We thank you as tithers and sowers of seed. We've activated to get a big portion of that. We thank you. We give you praise for this entire service. Anoint the word. Anoint the time. Anoint the fellowship. Let it be a time of eternal change deposited in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, what verse do you think we're going to? 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm starting with that verse tonight because we're on our series on hands-on ministry about how to really go out and minister to people. So we've talked about how to prepare a Bible lesson, how to teach you a Bible lesson, about prayer, intercession. We've talked about laying on of hands, some of the gifts. We've talked about a whole gambit of things so far, had in a few guest speakers. Tonight we're going to talk about leading others to Jesus. How many know we're assigned of God to lead other people to Jesus? Look at John chapter 15. First, we're going to see why we need to lead people to Jesus. And it says in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified." This is Jesus speaking. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." Now, I believe the predominant meaning of this verse is the fruit we're to bear is the love of God. But the truth is, a tree bears after its own kind, right? According to Scripture. And so we as Christians should be begetting Christians. We as believers are to be increasing our number, witnessing to others to bring them into the kingdom. And it says, when we bring forth this fruit, God is glorified. I want God glorified. How about you? Then as well, understand we have compassion on the lost, right? I don't want anybody going to hell. So we have a responsibility to act as those that stand in the gap, to witness to people, to bring them into the kingdom, to keep them from hell's flames. Heaven is a real place. And so is hell. And I believe, you know, a lot of people take that heaven-hell decision and what leads to that judgment very lightly at times. I don't want to take it too lightly. Amen. I don't want to end up in the wrong place. So we want to take this walk with God very seriously. And so love constrains us to lead people to Jesus, that compassion. As well, we're commanded to bear forth fruit. It's a directive of God. We are to witness to others. And then as well, we want to see our numbers increase. We love the fellowship of the saints, right? The growth of the church. And so, I believe God places in every believer's heart the desire to lead other people to the kingdom. How about you? Do you have a desire to lead other people to the kingdom? Well, tonight we're going to talk about some basics of witnessing and some basics about the gospel itself that you'll need to understand when you witness. So the first thing I want to do is go through the gospel in a nutshell is what I'm calling it. Because what is the gospel? Now, we know the word gospel means the rewards of good news. We know the gospel is the word of God. But we're talking about what is the gospel with regard to leading people to the kingdom. I want to put it in some basic steps. In fact, I have 12 steps that you need to understand when you're leading people to Jesus. And when you lead them, you can actually follow these steps in explaining it to them. Step number one, know that God loves us. God loves people. He loves us human. His humanity, right? I'm sure he's disappointed with it quite a bit, but he loves us, and he's a God of infinite love. Know as well that people are sinful. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that are not yet born again. They are sinful. Scripture makes clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't care how nice the person is, how good they are, they still have a nature of sin, right? Step number two. The wages of sin is death, right? Separation from God. So people that are sinful, that don't know Jesus, are lost. And I tell you what, you can speak to people that are lost. You can tell it from their conversation. They have no idea what their foundation is. They have no idea where they're going. They're just trying to survive life, make it to the finish line, not knowing what lies at the finish line. So you can explain to people that without Jesus, they are lost. And then let them know what we just read, John 3:16, that God so loved us, he sent his son on our behalf. Now, who's his son? Jesus. Jesus was sent to die on our behalf, right? So, on behalf of our sins, Jesus, step five, Jesus died for our sins on the cross. The Bible says everyone that's nailed to a tree is cursed of God, right? The only way Jesus could be cursed of God, the only way that Jesus could take our sins, that he could become a sinner, was to be nailed to a tree. Oh, glory to God that he took that punishment for us. So he died and he took our sins. The Bible says that if we believe on him, that he took our sins so we could receive his righteousness. So he died on our behalf. The good news is he didn't stay in the grave. Right? Step number six, Jesus rose from the dead. Step six. I guess I didn't number them for you. I thought you could keep up. Number one, God loves us. Number two, people are sinful. Number three, people are lost because they're sinners. Sin separates us from God. Number four, God so loved us, he sent his son. Number five, Christ died for our sins. Are you with me now? Number six, and thank you for letting me know. I'm teasing you, but I want you to be able to stay with me. Number six, Jesus rose from the dead based on faith in his own declaration he would rise. And because he was raised from the dead, we have access to the same resurrection power that raised him. Because he raised from the dead, we're raised from our own dead sinful situation. Amen. We're cleansed by the blood, but we're born again through the resurrection, through faith in that, right? Number seven, we're talking about what it takes to know how to lead somebody to Jesus. These are the steps. Jesus wants to save everyone. He wants everybody saved. Do you believe that? Some of you, you know, other people would have said, no, not them. But aren't you glad that God had a different mindset on the matter? Number eight, we must repent. You must be willing to turn from your sins, right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Repentance is required. Now, what does repent mean? This is important you understand that, right? You turn away. Repent means to turn and go the other direction from. A lot of people think repent means to feel bad or to cry or to mourn or to grieve. No, that may be something that you do in repentance. Repentance means to do something else. I still repent frequently. I don't cry about it. I know I'm a new creation now, but I still say, God, I blew that one. I'm sorry. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. I'm switching that in my life. Amen. Step number, what are you up to, 10? 9. Number 8, we must repent. Step number 9, we must be born again. See, you don't need your sins washed away. If something's washed away, it'll just get dirty again. You need the very nature of sin removed. Did you follow me on that? See, we're talking about, this is still step 9. We must be born again. You don't just need your sins washed away. You need the very sin nature of the devil eradicated from your life. See, a lot of Christians still think when you're born again, all that happens is your sins are forgiven. No, it's more than that. Your very sin nature is taken out of you, and God gives you a new heart made in the image of love. Praise God. And that's what's called being born again. God recreates you righteous with a new God nature. No longer a sinner, now a saint. Praise the Lord. Now step 10. Once born again, part of it is you must make Jesus your Lord. Not just your Savior, but your Lord. If you don't make Jesus your Lord, He won't stay your Savior very long. Did you follow me on that? You'll go back into the old lifestyle as a dog returns to the vomit or a pig to the wallowing in the mire. You need to recognize there's a responsibility to follow Jesus. Number 11, once born again, once we've made Him Lord, we become sons. It says in Romans, joint heirs with Christ. There's an inheritance connected to your sonship. Well, I'm a girl. Well, you need to be a son even if you're a girl. That's okay. I get to be a bride. And number 12, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. Now, that's the basics of the gospel in a nutshell. 12 steps to starting a new life. Now, when you're going to witness to people, you can't necessarily go and say, hey, I want to tell you these 12 steps. Most witnessing is birthed out of other conversation, not most successful witnessing. Some people are very adept at just witnessing to people, you know, that they've never met. I mean, Pastor Lee, he can do it. Pastor David Hunter. Many others, they can walk up to somebody and just be in a casual, you know, meet somebody in a grocery store line. All of a sudden, you know, they're telling them about Jesus. Some of you have that skill, I'm sure. That is not my forte. And so you might say, well, I'm just not an evangelist. I'm just not very comfortable leading people, Lord. I'm not very comfortable, you know, trying to go out on the streets and hand out tracts and tell people about the Lord. I'm not either. But I've led a whole lot of people to Jesus. Amen? Not just from the pulpit, but personally, publicly. Both my grandmothers I led to the Lord before they died. Amen. And so, most successful witnessing for the average person that's not a natural evangelist and, you know, everybody's best friend comes through friendship or work relationships where you're recognized for the fruit on your life. You're recognized for your integrity. They're recognized for the peace. See, you have the right to carry something people in the world cannot carry. You get to carry the presence of God. You get to carry the peace of God, the joy of the Spirit. Amen. And you have a knowledge of the need to walk in total integrity. I have a saying in my life. If something tries to tempt me to try to bend the truth or try to, you know, maybe fabricate a little story or maybe, you know, you go through the store line and you realize you get home and there's something in your bag you didn't pay for. And a little voice says, well, you know, hey, you're blessed. Well, see, I've discovered I believe my integrity is worth more than that. So I've decided my honesty, my integrity, I don't want to put a price on. How much can I be bought for? I'm going to tell a little bit of an off-color story. And y'all forgive me. Hopefully it's okay. But there was a very wealthy man, met a woman at a party, some kind of social gathering. And, I mean, just a normal woman. And he propositioned her. They were talking. He says, let me ask you a question. You're really a beautiful woman. He said, if I gave you $10 million, would you sleep with me? He stopped for a minute, thought, you know, well, yeah, I probably would. He said, okay. How about if I gave you $50? Would you sleep with me? She said, who do you think I am? He said, we've already found that out. Now we're just negotiating price. Do you follow me on that one? So where do we draw the point of this kind of off base of our message? But where do we draw the line on our integrity? And in these current days, integrity and work ethic will stand out and lift you above the crowd. And when everybody else is striving at work or stressing or fretful, when everything looks bad and you're still smiling, they're going to come to you to know, what is it about you that makes you different? Actually, they're probably going to ask other people, what is it different about them that makes you special or different? And if they really have any hunger for God whatsoever, they're probably going to come and talk to you. Or maybe you have friends or family members just in your conversations. They know that they've seen what's on you. And so through that recognition of what's on you, you can then tell them about what's in you and what's shifted in your life and about the gospel in depth. Amen? And so you got to be very, very good at being able to find those openings and know when God's made that opening and when you're to speak. Paul told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. I believe that's when you feel like it and when you don't. You got to know when God's telling you, now's the time to speak into their lives. It's kind of funny. 33 years ago, Patty and I got saved. And same night. And we first got saved, both of our families thought we were crazy. They were mad at the other one. My family thought Patty led me astray into Christianity. And her family thought I led her astray into Christianity. It was both of us the same night. You know, bada boom. And they thought we were nuts. Mocked us, persecuted us, even to some level threatened us. But now 33 years later, and actually it didn't take a whole lot of years, they saw there was a difference. I mean, first we go to the family gatherings, they're trying to push beer on me or mixed drink. You know, what do you want in your Coke? I don't want anything. I don't drink anymore. I'm not a drinker. Amen. I've been born again. And so there was a time of mockery, but then there came a time after a period, they saw we were not wavering off of what we declared, and we were actually living it. And that allowed us to lead several of our family members to the Lord. Amen. And now all of them respect us and come to us for spiritual answers and for guidance. Even those that aren't born again still respect where we stand. What I'm trying to say is if you want to be effective at leading people to the Lord, you first have to live it. Live it, because then you show forth a fruit that attracts the harvest to you, and they want to partake of that same fruit. It's also important, I believe, to stay filled, stay prayed up, stay in the Word, so that the anointing is on you. Let me make something clear. A lot of people think, well, I just can't lead people to the Lord because I don't know enough Bible. In other words, you haven't memorized enough. You can't quote enough scriptures. Let me tell you a secret. I believe it's more important that you live it versus you can quote it. And if you'll live it, people will be patient enough with you that you can find the answers they desire. But if you're just quoting it, you can just recite scriptures, but you're not living it, they don't want to hear what you have to say. So just in your own way, live out the gospel, and you will find people attracted to you wanting to hear what has changed your life so dramatically or made you how you are. Amen. So in my opinion, all you've got to do is memorize a handful of scriptures. I'm talking about 5 or 6 scriptures. Know where to find them. You don't even have to memorize. Know where they're at. And you can effectively lead people to Jesus on the spot. And anything else you can say, because they'll have questions, you can say, I'll find that before you get back with you. Amen. And so, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to lead people to the Lord. Just be a Bible liver. And that should suffice, right? You don't have to be silver-tongued and a great debater and orator. I'm not. But you just have to be able to tell people, this is what the Word says. This is what I believe. This is what I'm living. And these are the results. Do you see that? And so everybody, I believe, is given by God opportunities to witness and bring people into the kingdom. Again, sheep beget sheep. We should be bringing forth people into the kingdom, right? Now, one of the key things of being an effective witness is being able to readily identify people that are ready, or that you can just sow a seed into. And no, you don't have to lead people to the Lord on the spot. Just sow a seed. Sometimes the accumulation of seeds builds up till they finally want to get saved. People witnessed to me for years before I got saved. They would just tell me a little thing here, a little thing there, maybe a testimony, and it would have a cumulative effect that finally, after several years of hearing it, it sparked enough interest to look into it and discover the truth. Amen. So here's a key thing. Don't try to cram the gospel down people's throats. They won't like it. And they'll say, there's another one of those pushy Christians. Seek God for opportunities where they have questions. Or seek God where there's an opening. You can just say something. If somebody's going through a hard time, say Robert came and he wasn't a Christian, and he say, you know, Jack, I've watched you, you know, you seem to have things going together, but you know, I've got all these problems. You know, I've got problems here and problems there and this problem and that problem. And, you know, I just don't know what to do. And I can say, well, Robert, let me tell you what's changed my life. Then you speak from the heart the changes God's made in your life. And I believe one of the most effective things you can do to share the gospel are your testimonies. That's what got me saved. A friend of mine came by and said, I could feel the Holy Spirit. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I've been given a supernatural prayer language. I said, let me hear it. Or I can't hear that. Nobody out there. Sign me up. I knew he wasn't making it up. I knew he was a man of integrity. The next step is I had to believe what he said, and I discovered he was telling the truth. So testify. Here's another thing. Pray to God. How many believe we're to witness and lead people to the Lord? Now, don't raise your hand, but how many pray that God would bring you people to lead the Lord? How many in your prayer time in the morning say, God, and give me somebody to witness to today? You have not because you ask not. God wants people saved. I mean, of all the prophecies that God wants us to decree, that He wants us to declare, that He wants us to call upon, what prophecy do you think is of greater importance to pray out than, God, bring me somebody to escort to your kingdom today? Give me somebody to witness to. So first, get your faith involved in it. Say, God, today I want to lead somebody to Jesus. I heard one evangelist several years ago, it's probably been 27 years ago, ministering. He says he leads two people to the Lord every day. Two people to God. Now, he's one of those natural speakers, you know, that just everybody's his friend and he carries that evangelistic personality. But he works his faith for it. You can work your faith for it. You don't have to lead people to the Lord every day, but work your faith to speak into somebody's life. Said, God, give me divine appointments today to lead people to Jesus and to pray for people to make a difference. Let me increase your kingdom. Well, guess what God's going to do? He's going to bring people across your path, and it's going to move on people's lives that you can speak into. So get your prayer life involved. And then during the day, be alert for the opportunities. Be ready to impart. Amen. And of course, one thing you have to do is address the fear issue. You cannot be an effective witness if you're afraid people won't like you. Because the devil will make sure if you're an effective witness, people won't like you. He's going to stir some people up. You've got to be determined you want to glorify God more than you want to maintain peace with everybody you meet. Again, I'm not talking about ramming it down people's throats. I'm talking about you're willing to say things that may challenge their secure, so-thought-secure setting. So pray. If there's people that you are actually targeting for witnessing to, because I believe we ought to have people we're targeting to witness to. Is this too hard tonight? There should be people you have in mind you want to see led to Jesus. I don't think it's sufficient to say, well, I think they're saved. You need to make sure. And if they're not living for God, I question whether they're really saved. Be willing It would be better to have them mad at you for a period than in hell for eternity. Because they'll be mad at you for eternity thinking, why didn't they tell me? So, pray for the people you're targeting. Pray for them daily. Claim them for the kingdom. God, I claim this family member. I claim this friend. I claim this person at work. I claim them for the kingdom. One of the most effective people I know at this is Pastor Teresa over in Midway. Pastor Teresa every day claims people. She's one of those natural evangelists anyway. She claims people daily for the kingdom. And then she sees them come in. You can do the same thing. Target your faith for them. Now, when you're witnessing, I'm still giving you some pointers before we get into the actual witnessing part. When you're witnessing, again, don't try to cram it down their throats. And don't you be the one that's doing all the talking. Sometimes we get so excited about somebody to witness to, we preach the whole Bible to them in about 10 minutes. And they're sitting there going, what? This is the craziest thing I ever heard. And be ready to answer the question, what about Job? Amen. Because they're always going to ask, what about Job? Use your own personal conversation as your most powerful witnessing tool. And when you get in that opportunity where you have the opportunity to speak in somebody's life, don't go into preaching mode. Your voice shouldn't change. You shouldn't be going, and Jesus said, when you're trying to lead somebody to the Lord. Know when to pull it back. Know when you can see they're starting to reject what you're saying or shut down, or you overloaded them to make the deposit, go on. Then come back later when there's another opportunity, maybe deposit something else. And then be willing to bring in the harvest when it's time to know now they're ready. Some people are brought into the kingdom because of extreme hardship. Other people are brought into the kingdom without any hardship at all. They just recognize God's moving. But here's the thing. Your most powerful tool for bringing people to the kingdom is not memorization of scriptures. It's knowing the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's knowing when God's preparing somebody, when the Spirit of God's on somebody, when you can see the anointings in the area that you're in. I mean, if you're witnessing to somebody and it's going to be effective, I believe many times you'll feel the anointing dropping on the scene. And my most effective times of witnessing have always been when that presence of God dropped. So maintain a worship life, a praise life with God. When you go into witness, praise and worship God. Get that presence on you to make you effective. The Scripture says, unless the Lord God draw them, nobody's getting saved. Right? To paraphrase. And so, bring the Holy Spirit on the scene. This is not a logical debate to get people saved. It's a releasing of the gospel that the Holy Spirit anoints that draws people to the kingdom. Amen. Then here's another key I want you to remember. Don't be flaky. Unless they want a flake. Ready for a flake. You follow me? In other words, you're probably not going to go very far trying to witness to people if you're prophesying over them first time. And the Lord thy God says, either thou wast repent, or hell's flames are hotter than any flames you've ever known. You're not going to leave people like that. Prophesying, you know, becoming so spiritual around them that they can't even have a conversation with you. Again, person-to-person conversation is your most effective position or relationship to relate the gospel to somebody. And it's important often that you become their friend before you become their minister. Amen? Robert's very effective at this. You know what he does? He first becomes their father. Then he becomes their friend. Then he becomes their minister. And so, be willing to slow down. Hear what people have to say. Now as well, don't get caught up in debate. Christianity is not advanced through argument and debate and strife. Strife opens doors for demonic operation, demonic anointings coming in. You want the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. So if somebody gets argumentative, say, hey, I guess you don't want to hear what I got to say. You know, I'll see you later. Don't even bless them. Amen. Let them stay in their curse until they decide they want to change. Say, you can keep your devils. I'm going on. Just thought I would want to help and walk in love. So be willing to listen. Don't overspeak. Don't talk their ear off. Some people, I'm not trying to attack anybody. Don't have anybody in mind. But some people, I would swear, were vaccinated with a phonograph needle. I mean, some people, you get a conversation with them, you can't get away. Amen. I mean, it's nonstop. And you say, well, you know, I got to go. And they'll follow you. And that will run people off. I believe most evangelism is more effective when you let them become the spokesman. And I've had people come in this church before that some of the phonograph people got a hold of, and they never came back. And you hear later, that person talked my ear off, scared me nearly to death. They don't understand faith, so they didn't speak nearly to life, right? Because it was just on and on. Sometimes peace, sometimes quiet, gives the Holy Spirit a chance to say something to them. Amen? And understand, you're not responsible for getting them saved. You're responsible for saying what God gives you to say, and the Spirit of God will do the rest. Amen. So, when you're going to lead somebody to the Lord, here's some steps you can take. First, tell them that you're a Christian yourself, especially if they don't know. Even if they do, you can write to them, you know me, and you know I'm a Christian. Well, you're setting a foundation for your ability to impart to their life something they don't have. Right? So just let them know in a conversation, if you have the open door, it's the time. Don't be one of those who just shoves Jesus down everybody's throats. And I used to do that when I was first saved because I thought that's my job, lead people to the Lord. Everybody I met, have you heard about Jesus? Let me tell you, here's a track, a three-color track. Oh, yeah. And hey, you need to get saved, praise God. Hell yeah, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. And by the way, I don't believe in condemnation preaching. Now, I believe there's a hell, but I don't believe the most effective way to lead people to the Lord is through fear. You follow me? Where they just want to get saved to have fire insurance. Look over at Romans chapter 2. Don't let me forget where I was before I took this sidetrack. You already did, didn't you? Romans chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance? What leads men to repentance? His goodness. So when you're having this conversation with a person, that's where I was before, and you're going to tell them about Jesus, don't condemn them to the kingdom. Now, if somebody's in major sin and they're saying, like, well, I think I'm going to heaven, you know, everything's fine, I say, no, really, according to the word, you're in trouble. That's okay. Let them know the truth. Don't dodge it. But don't walk around just telling people they're going to hell all the time. Amen. Start off saying, you know me, you know a Christian. I'm a Christian. Whether you know my testimony or not, here's how I used to live. These are some of the things I did. But God came into my life. He redeemed me from who I was, and he set me free. So when I witness to people, I tell them I was a drunk for 12 years. Did drugs, recreational, for 10. And God set me free the night I was saved. And I go into stories about stupid stuff I did. Amen. And tell them, but here's how God's changed my life. And it wasn't me because I couldn't do it of myself. I needed help. And God came into my life and He changed me from the inside out. And you tell them, start off with you. Start off with your testimony. Tell them that you're a Christian. Then relate to them what the Spirit of God's done in your life. I mean, I could give testimonies. In fact, I've done multi-messages just on testimonies God's given me in the past of areas where the Holy Spirit saved my life. He saved me from danger. He's been there for me. He's given me wisdom. Just talk about the Holy Spirit, not to mention testimonies. Amen. Every one of you, I'm guessing by now, has some testimonies of something supernatural God's done in your life. What has He done? Tell them. Because it could be the Spirit of God to bring forth the exact story that you may not even know, but they've been struggling with themselves. And when you say, and God did this for me, talk about the Holy Spirit's changing in your life, the Word's difference in your life, right? And tell them as well, they can have it too. Tell them about your personal need for a Savior. You know, I didn't know I needed a Savior. But I knew there was coming into my life. And I knew I didn't know where I was going. And I looked around at different things. But when I found in the Word of God, the promise of God, that I could go to heaven and how to get it, amen, I determined to go that direction. Even tell about how, I think some of those powerful testimonies are telling people how you knew that God was real, that the Word was true. How did you, see, here's the breakdown where a lot of people don't want to get saved. They say, well, I read in the Word, but how do you know that Bible's true? How do you know that God is real? Nobody can see God. You got to be able to relate to them on a personal level out of your own experience, how you know that God is real. And then you can even give more testimonies and talk about how the Word, God's Word, has brought miracles into your life. So I can talk about people having cancers disappear and diabetes go and fibromyalgia raising the dead. I can tell these testimonies. Say, here's one of the ways I know. But the way I really know is when I got saved, He came inside of me and it was evident to me. Amen. And the Spirit of God came on me even before I received Him to confirm His reality. And if the anointing shows up, you can even say to them, do you see how the air feels different in here? That's the Spirit of God. Do you feel that peace that's here now? Do you feel different from when you came over here? Now you're by me. Do you feel the difference? That's God. And He wants to save you. And in a controlled, loving, not whacked out fashion, tell them the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Tell them the blessings of Christianity. Now, I know some people struggle with this, but you can tell them, per the Word of God, I don't have to be sick anymore. Per the Word of God, my marriage can be blessed. My children will serve God. Per the Word of God, I can have joy. I can have victory in my situation. In fact, according to the Word of God, I never have to be down again. Now, I know we may not all have a hold of it totally, but you can tell them that's what the Word says, and you're striving towards it. And that you're day by day getting in the Word, letting the Word transform your life to become the fullness of who God wants you to be. And then tell them as well, at one time you didn't know where you were going, but now you know God has a plan for your life. And in that plan is true fulfillment in life. And here's an area you can always get the attention of somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Whether they admit it or not, it will get their attention. You can say, I have fulfillment. Because I guarantee you, they don't. The wicked are always searching for the next experience to bring them some joy or peace. And usually it's something regarding sin that desensitizes them and takes them further into sin. Right? Whether alcohol, drugs, or illicit relationships, whatever, they're always going deeper, gambling, deeper into sin. And you can say, but I'm going deeper into peace. Deeper into fulfillment. I'm not searching anymore. Now I'm just fulfilling. My search ended 33 years ago. Your search should have ended when you got saved. And now your goal is to fulfill God's plan for your life. So you can tell them, I have fulfillment. And that will get their attention because they, I guarantee it, they do not. I've spoken with people that I'm close to that don't know Jesus, family members. And they will say to me, I wish I could have what you have. They'll say, I see it. And they'll say, I've searched all my life for the contentedness. And you have it. And I'll say, and you can have it too, if you're willing to make a shift and give your life to the Lord. I had a man come in here one time. He was probably, now this has probably been 8 or 9 years ago. I've shared this story before. But there was a man, he was an older gentleman. I would say he was around 70 at the time. Not old, just older, right? He was older than me. And I preached a Sunday morning message on the peace of God, about the supernatural peace. Afterwards, he comes and says, can I speak with you? I said, sure. So he comes to my office, and he says, everything you said this morning is what I've been searching for all of my life. You shared exactly what I've been searching for, and I don't have it. He said, I'm a shaman. You know what a shaman is, right? A warlock, a male witch, operates in witchcraft. And he says, he was at a very high level of it. And he says, I have all these spirit helpers that go with me, helping me wherever I go. I said, where are they? Are they here now? He says, yeah, there's, you know, some right there and right there. They followed him in my office. I said, well, listen, I can help you. I can turn your life around. You can have what I have. I said, however, understand, in this process, you will have to tell those friends to go. They can't go with you where you're going. He said, oh, I could never do that. These are my friends. I said, then really, unless you're willing to make some shifts in your life, I can't help you. He said, okay, left. Took them with him. We're going to stay in my office. I've never seen him since. But he noticed there was something here that he needed. He just wouldn't make the shift to receive it. Now, maybe he's received it since then. Maybe that was enough of a seed that accumulated over time that now he's received Jesus. I don't know. But the point is here he is at the highest levels of witchcraft and didn't have peace. K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W peace. N-O Jesus, N-O peace, right? Next, I mentioned give your personal testimonies. Tell them true stories. Most are not equipped for a theological debate. Do you follow me? I mean, it's amazing how many unbelievers know more scripture than a lot of believers do. So what you do is you tell them a testimony. You tell them stories about what God did, and they can't argue with your testimony. They'll try to argue with the word, but they can't argue with your testimony. What a testimony Robert has. How do you argue with that? God's truly touched his life, as many of others of you, right? And then approach that person in a fashion tailored for that person. Now, I don't believe in manipulation. I don't believe in manipulative conversations. But I do believe you can look for openings to share the gospel with people tailored toward their interests. If you know somebody likes Kentucky basketball, and talk about how God made the sky blue after the curse. And talk Talk about how you're a fan of Jesus. Talk about what you've seen God do. Just somehow tailor the conversation in an area that interests them. Because every witnessing opportunity is different. And learn to be led to the Spirit in the conversation. You can be having a conversation with them, but still hearing God out of one ear, you know, knowing what to say next or what not to say. And let God get involved in that conversation. They like cars. Talk about how Jesus rode the best horse out there. New horse, right? Riding on a new colt. And it wasn't a Dodge colt. Do something to put it in line with what they enjoy. And then, let me throw this in. When you get into a discussion with somebody, and they want to argue situations, what about this, what about that, just always speak the word. In other words, they've heard your testimonies, now they want to say, well, what about this? Just always speak the word. The word is the sword. The word carries power. The word is what's going to grow within them. So once you've told them the stories, be sure you speak word into the situation. Amen. Even if all you know is John 3:16, speak it because they've heard it also. But get the word out there. And then make sure you're yourself. When you go to witnessing, make sure you're undercover. Make sure you're a tither. Make sure you're serving God. Make sure you're anointed. Because otherwise, the anti-anointings that they carry may interfere with the anointing that you're to carry. You should have enough of God on you to overpower the sludge on their life. Amen. And then, don't be surprised what may manifest. I don't know how many people it's been, but it's been several people I went to witness to, and demons manifested. There they are. Tell me about Jesus. You're telling them about all this stuff starts to come to the top. Take authority over it, bind it. Know what to do, whether you to run or leave or to stay with it or call Pastor Jack. Better yet, call Pastor Rebecca. But stuff can happen, amen? And here's one thing that will often happen. You can be having a peaceful conversation with somebody about the gospel or about things. You can talk about basketball, sports, cars, cooking. And you bring Jesus, and all of a sudden, they will totally transform and manifest. I don't believe in all that God stuff. Patty and I had a neighbor used to live next to us that we were friends with her kids, friends with the family, and hadn't seen her in several years. She came in the coffee shop one day, been probably 7-8 years ago, and she's admiring everything and talking, and I saw an opening about, she said something, I said, well, you know, God's ministered in our Patty in our life. He's changed us. I don't believe all that God stuff. I mean, she might as well torque and turned her head around everything else. And my mother died and I prayed, or my mother was dying and I prayed and she still died. I don't believe in God. I'm just total anger at the thought of the gospel. That wasn't her. That was a demon manifesting anger. Hit a landmine. A hair trigger that manifests. So don't be surprised when it happens. And don't get offended. You didn't offend them. The word offended them. Scripture says they are offended for the word's sake. Right? And so when you're persecuted over it, oh well. And so what if some demon-possessed person don't want to hang around with you anymore? See you, bye. Amen? And then another thing. Seek the love of God. I believe the supernatural anointing of love is God's harvest magnet. If you live it, good, but if you carry that supernatural love, it's irresistible to the lost. So ask God for that anointing on your life. And watch the changes take place. So when you're leading somebody to the Lord, Let me make sure I covered all this. Know when to move on. When you're talking with somebody, don't be afraid to say, I don't know. See, a lot of people are afraid to witness because they think, they realize there's some questions they can't answer. Amen. Well, where did God come from? You want to know the answer to that? You want to know where God came from? I don't know. Nobody knows. He's always been. He transcends time, right? He created time. And that's beyond human understanding. God made us without the ability to comprehend that. At least not in my mind. So it's okay to say, I don't know. But you can say, but this I do know. I was lost and now I'm saved. I was in sin and now I'm in truth. I was going to hell, now I'm going to heaven. I had turmoil, now I have peace. And let your testimony bring them to the Lord. Now, when you're leading somebody to the Lord, here's the steps you can take. 5 easy steps. Let them know their lost condition. We already went through the 12 steps of the gospel in a nutshell. Here's 5 steps to get somebody saved. Let them know there's a need to acknowledge their lost condition. Number 2, tell them the need to believe the gospel. Just believe in God. Well, I don't know if I believe or not. Well, act on what you do believe. Amen. Number 3, tell them the need to repent of their sins. You can even tell what you had to do and relate it to them in that fashion. It's what I had to do. Here's what the Word says. Number 4, receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Number 5, confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Those 5 steps, you can lead somebody to the Lord. Now, scriptures will go with it. Do you want some scriptures tonight? I can read to you just chapter and verse to you. Let's go back through the 5 steps. Let's just read through these verses. Just, I'll relate them to you. Talk about the lost condition of man. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all of a sudden fall short of the glory of God, right? Also, Isaiah 53:6. Talks about our lost condition. The need to believe the gospel, Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. And John 3:36. See, if you will memorize these verses, or a few of them, or know how to go to them, mark your Bibles. I used to have an old date, I still have it, my date Bible I had 30 years ago. Over 30 years ago. I put markers on the pages to go through the Romans Road. In fact, I put a marker on the first page, and next to that verse, I'd write, now go to this. Start with Romans 3:23, all of sin fall short of the glory. And I have, you can go look at it, I've got it in the office, and I've got written next to that, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I go, Romans 10:9-10. Because I didn't know enough word 32 years ago. I had it written down, how to lead somebody to Jesus, and I used it. Number 3, repenting of your sins, Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Isaiah 55:9. You can even throw in 1 John 1:9. Number 4, receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, John 1:12, John 3:16, John 3:16, 1 John 5:12-13, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, Romans 10:9-10. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. Well, listen. What we want to do tonight is create in you a desire to lead people to the Lord. It should already be there. And to equip you to know that you don't have to be a scriptural expert to do it. Your best witnessing tool is your own life. Your fruitful walk draws people to that aroma, that sweet savor of the love of God. And when they come, deposit the word in them. I've got a portion of the book, The Supernatural Power of Love, that talks about this. And when I was growing up, well, when I was 17, we lived on the farm. We had some pear trees, had a little mini orchard. All we had were pear trees. Had about a half a dozen of big old pear trees. They would produce the best giant pear. These things were huge. Looked like softballs. And they'd grow all year. And, you know, I'd be targeting, hey, you get ripe, you're mine, because I love ripe pears. Pick them right off the tree if you get them in time. Or just before they... Usually pears fall off before they get fully ripe. You got to pick them green and wrap them in newspaper and store them. Anyway, those pears most of the year are green. Nothing messed with them. But as soon as they started turning yellow and they gave off that ripe odor, the entire orchard became filled with yellow jackets, red wasps, possums, raccoons, skunks, you name it. Everything came for that fruit. So the fruit, you know, we couldn't pick it all, so these pears would be all over the ground. And the animals would come, they'd eat the pears, the ripe fruit. They came for the fruit, but they'd eat the pear, seed and all. Later, they would go deposit pre-fertilized seed and produce more pear trees. At least that was the intention of the tree. The animals came for the fruit of the tree, but they actually received the seed of the tree in the fruit. And that's God's harvest plan for us. We carry the fruit of the Spirit. People come for our fruit, and we give them the seed of the Word of God that produces the fruit. And watch the harvest take place. Are you ready to do this? Father, I thank you. Now, I'm going to pray something. If you want this, I want you just to agree with me as I pray it. But Father, I thank you for increasing this church, increase of the harvest. And I pray, Lord God, each one here is given divine appointments, supernatural by the Holy Spirit, to witness your word into. Family members, friends, co-workers, acquaintances, even people that run into you, open doors of utterance for them, opportunity to speak the word of truth into them and see people saved, brought into the kingdom. Give them confidence to lead people all the way from sinful state into righteous state. Get them filled with the Holy Spirit all the way into getting them established in church. Thank you, Jesus. And we see a harvest come to each person's life as they step out to be a soul winner. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Did you enjoy this tonight? Hug some necks and show the love of God. Be a blessing.